As we continue discussing the Melacha Makva Patish, there are a number of halachas, not necessarily even such well-known halachas, that fall into the category of Makva Patish. The Shulchan Aruch and Simen Shin Yud Zayin, Sif Beis, teaches us, Nishmatu Noi Rutsuas Minl V'Sandal, if his shoelaces fell out. Oish Nishn Rav HaRegel, Mutalachs Aritzuas, Lum Kaimam, one may put the shoelaces back, Uvachla Yikshur, as long as he's careful not to make a permanent knot. Hago, says the Ramah, Vidak Shiachsal Achzir Beloy Tirach, only if they could be put back in place without Tircha. Am Tzorich Tirach Lazer Osir, if there's a Tircha involved, so before we go into this very important halacha, when shoelaces may or may not be replaced on Shabbos, what is interesting, and many achronim discuss this Ramah. The Ramah says it depends if there's a tircha involved in putting in the shoelace or not. And the Mefarshim try to understand why, if there's a tircha involved, does it make a difference as far as the halacha. And the Mefarshim want to say, and this is something that we discussed in our previous year when we spoke about what is Makba Patish, the Paiskim want to suggest that the Ramah, by connecting this to tircha, is going back to the opinion of the Rambam that we discussed, that the Rambam said that the definition of Makba Patish means a Maisa Umin. And that's what the Ramah means to say. If there's a Tircha involved, it obviously is a Maisa Umin. And if it's a Maisa Umin, therefore it's Asr. However, if there is no great Tircha involved, it's not a Maisa Umin. But clearly, if we read the words of the Shulchan Aruch, it seems, if we read the words of the Ramah, the Ramah seems to say that one may not put in a shoelace on Shabbos. And of course, this is a very important question. If somebody has a shoe, is he allowed to put in a shoelace or not on Shabbos? So, to speak about this halacha, the way the Poskim seem to establish it as follows. Certainly in a situation where you have a new pair of shoes that never had shoelaces in them, and then you put the shoelace in on Shabbos, seems to be, although we'll soon see that there are Paiskim that are lenient in this case as well, but it seems to be that most Paiskim would be Machmer in that situation. Because putting the shoelace in under those circumstances seems to clearly be a situation of Machmer Patish. You're making the shoe wearable. On the other hand, I saw that the Shmir Shabbos Kochasai quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman, that in a situation where you had part of the shoelaces already in your shoe, that you just didn't have them in all the holes all the way to the top, now you want to put them in, lace them up all the way, that, the Shmir Shabbos Kochasai says, is certainly not a tikkun mona, because you already had the shoelaces in there previously. The question, however, comes up is if you had a pair of shoes and your shoelaces rip on Shabbos, may you put those shoelaces back in or not? So the Deborah Tzinarov in the Shiles of Tshuvas Ber Moshe in Chelik Beis Simen Chof, and even more so in Chelik Vav, Simen Samach, takes a very lenient approach to the Shaila. And he has two reasons why he's Makel. One reason he's Makel is because he says that when the Shulchan Aruch here speaks about putting in shoelaces, he's only speaking about shoelaces that were more difficult to put in. But he says nowadays, where the holes in the shoes are made well, and it's easy to lace through the shoes. And furthermore, he says, the shoelaces have like a piece of plastic or piece of metal at the top that makes them narrower, easier to put into the hole. So therefore, that's not considered tikkun mono. And what he's saying is really very much based on what the Rama said. Because the Rama here was particularly concerned for tircha. But if it's so easy to put the shoelaces into the shoe, that would make it mutter. Another reason why he takes a lenient approach, which is a very big chiddush, he says that actually shoes, even shoes that were meant to be worn with shoelaces, can be worn without the laces. He brings a very interesting raya. He says, if you go to a store to try on a pair of shoes, let's say there are a pair of shoes that come with laces, and you try them on without the laces put in, and then you try them on and you like them and they fit, and then the person in the store actually laces up the shoes. He says most people won't try on those shoes again because they know that the shoes fit. If the laces, he says, are such a integral part of the shoe, so why don't you try the shoe on again? It must be, he says, that the laces are not such an integral part of the shoe. He says only in the time of Chazal, where the shoes that they wore were mostly open on the top, they were more like sandals, there did the laces make much so much more of a difference. Bezman hazeh, the laces don't make such an important difference. A very interesting chiddush. The Shail Tshuvas Mishnah Halachas in Chelek Zayin Simen Mem Tes discusses this very shaila, and it's quite obvious that he's speaking to the Debrett Sinarov, but he doesn't want to address him because he doesn't want to say that he's disagreeing with him, but he doesn't agree. He says the fact that the shoelaces, that you, shoes that are worn with shoelaces need those shoelaces and therefore are integral part of the shoe, and putting the shoe into the shoelace is awesome. Furthermore, he, as well as the Shail Tshuvas Oz Nidburu in Chelek Gimel Siman Lamed Aleph, discuss would there be any difference whether it's whether you're putting in shoelaces for the first time in the shoe, whether the new shoelaces or old shoelaces that you had on another old pair of shoes, that your shoes that you're wearing you need to put laces into, and you take laces from a different pair and put them into these shoes, and they both hold that it doesn't make a difference. Under both circumstances, it would be usur. However, what they do say, and clearly the Mishnah Halachas passes this way, as does the Shmiru Shabbos Kol Chosoi, that if you're going to put your shoelaces into the shoes in a way that it's obviously just temporary, meaning that you're not going to put the shoes, the laces, into all of the holes of the shoe, you're just going to put the laces into some of the holes of the shoe, then we could be more lenient, because since that's not going to be left there long term, therefore it's obvious that it's not going to be considered tikkun mono. And to understand this a little better, as we discussed in our previous shiur, when we speak about the melacha of makba patish, when we speak about the melacha of tikkun mono, which is another way of saying makba patish, so as we discussed in our previous shiur, there are essentially two approaches in the Rishonim how to understand this melacha. One way of understanding it is the Rambam's approach, as we said at the beginning of the shiur, where it represents a certain Maisa Umin. So the Zman Hazeh, as the Debrett Sinarov is quite clear, putting a shoe lace in to a shoe would not be necessarily considered a Maisa Umin, since it's quite easy to put the shoelace into the shoe. What's more of an issue, however, is the fact that it's a Gemara Melacha, the approach that Rashi and Tosfos took, that this is the way you make the shoe wearable. But if you do it in a way that it won't be permanent, that means you only lace up certain amount of holes, but you don't complete the lacing up. Or another approach that I saw that Paiskim suggest, you use a different color lace than what you would normally use. You're wearing a black shoe and you put in brown laces. Nobody's going to permanently remain with brown laces in a black shoe. Under those circumstances, we could be much more lenient and take the approach that it would be, mutter. For the same reason, say the Paiskim, putting a belt into the loops of a pair of pants on Shabbos would also be mutter. Because when you put the belt into the loops, you're not going to keep it. Certainly doesn't involve a mice woman just putting your belt in. Furthermore, it's a belt not going to remain there permanently, and therefore would be mutter. However, the question does come up, what about if you have a garment that comes with a belt, that belt is made specifically for that garment? It's not a belt that's made to be taken in and out, like a regular belt that you keep on taking the belt in and out every time you switch a pair of pants. There, it's much more of a question, because that belt is made specifically for that garment. And there, the Paiskim are more machmer, again, because once you leave it there on a permanent basis, there it would become an issue of tikkun mana, specifically according to Rashi and Tosfos. Again, what should be done under those circumstances is that put the belt not into all of the loops. So again, that shows that you don't want to keep it that way permanently. Usually you keep your belt in all of the loops that are meant for the belt to be put into, and that would be mutter. The same issue comes up if somebody has a necklace with a pendant that's put on the necklace. So many poskim take the approach that putting the pendant on the necklace the first time is asur on Shabbos, because that's tikkun mana, making the piece of jewelry, making this necklace into a necklace, because a necklace that's meant to be worn with a pendant, obviously if it doesn't have the pendant, it's not the piece of jewelry that you're interested in, and now you have an issue of tikkun mana. If, on the other hand, it just falls out, there the paiskim are more lenient, because you're not creating something new, and therefore being maybe mutter. And according to those paiskim, the same would be perhaps regarding a pendant, regarding a belt that is made specifically for one garment. If it was already in the garment and somehow it fell out and now you want to put it back in, that may not be considered tikkun mana, because you're not really creating anything. What you had here was here already from before. So along this line of questioning, the question is, many coats come with a lining. And the question is one allowed to put that lining that is zipper, that's put in through a zipper or with buttons, put back into the coat? You put it in by the winter, you keep it there during the winter, during the summer you take it out, and when the winter comes back, are you allowed to put it back in or not? So I saw that the Shailos HaTshuvos Chelkas Yaakov in Chelek Orechayim Simen Kuf Chof Gimel discusses the Shaila, and he takes a strict approach. He says that this would be usur. He says that even if it was in your coat last winter, and now you took it out for the whole summer, and now when the winter comes back, you're putting it back in, the fact that it was out for such a long time, and the fact that you're going to be putting it in again for such a long time, is considered, even though he says this is not a case of sewing, because you're not sewing it in, it's just a zipper or just buttons, so you don't have a problem of teufer, he says, but you do have a problem of tikkun mana, of making it into a beged. in the winter you want a raincoat with a lining, and he takes an approach that it would be usher. There are other paiskim, again, in the Debret Sina Rav, and in Chela Gimel, Semen Pei Ches, quoting the quotes of Yonas and Steif, that they held that this would be mutter to be done on Shabbos. Why? Because they say that putting in a belt, putting in a zipper, as we just said, is not considered a act of making a keli. And besides the fact that it's not considered an act of making a keli, it's also it's not considered a maisa umen, and therefore he says that it's certainly mutter. I saw a similar shaila that the Oz Nidbru discusses. He says that there are people that they have on their talis an atara, but sometimes they want to wear an atara, and sometimes they don't want to wear an atara. So they have an atara that has like snaps, and you could snap it on and snap it off. And the question is, can you snap that atara on Shabbos? And you may leave that atara on for quite a while. So he, in Chelik Zion, Simen Memhei, takes a strict approach, because he says that's called tikkun mana, by attaching the atara to the talus, even though it in itself is obviously not an act of tikkun. However, I saw from Rabbi Yoshev is makel with this question of attaching the Torah with snaps. Rabbi Yoshev takes a very interesting approach. He says that tikkun mana is only in a case where you're making what you have into a usable beged, and without it wasn't usable. So if we began our shiur today discussing shoes with shoelaces, so most people would assume that a pair of shoes without shoelaces is not really wearable. It's not really a full-fledged pair of shoes. He says a talus certainly serves its function even if you don't have an atar on the talus. Many people don't wear an atar ever on their talus. And therefore, he suggests that putting an atar back on, snapping the atar onto the talus, would not be considered tikkun mana, and therefore would be mutar. There's another example that comes up on Shabbos that may be tikkun mana, albeit a drabonin digger tikkun mana. And it's mentioned in Simen Shif Shin Chof Gimel Sif Zayin. We know that when one buys certain kalim from an akum, he has to be toivel them before he could use them. And the question comes up, may one be toivel kalim? You bought a new dish or a new pot that you want to use on Shabbos, and the question is, you forgot to toivel it. Are you allowed to toivel it on Shabbos? So says the Shulchan Aruch, mutal hatbul kli chadosh aton tefila. The first Shiti quote says that you're allowed to, but then he says, v'yesh oisrim. And the those that say that you shouldn't, and the Mishnah Brewer says, the yesh oisrim paskin this way, even by kalim that are mechuyif tefila only midrabonim. Still they hold, you shouldn't toivel a kalim on Shabbos. Says the Shulchan Aruch, v'yirishmaim yoytzes kulam. If somebody has such a keli on Shabbos, what should he do? Yitna keli le'eni Yehudi b'matana. He should give the keli to an akum, the keli that belongs to an akum, v'yachsev yishlar memenu, and then you could borrow it from him, v'ein tzarach tefila, because not a keli belongs to an akum, and a keli that belongs to an akum is not m'chuyiv in tefila. Hagor, v'mkli sheroi l'malus b'mayim. Now the Ramah says a very interesting chiddush, that if this keli can be used for water, yimlena mayim in a mikvah v'os lo tefila. What you should do is go to the mikvah and fill it up with water, so it's not obvious that you're doing a tefila. You're just using it to fill up with water. And the Mishnah Berurah says, also be careful not to make a bracha, because if you make a bracha, again, it becomes obvious that you're doing it to make the keli into a keli that was properly toiveled. All you should do is just put it into mikvah, fill it up with water. Here too, we clearly see that tefillas kelim looks like tikkun mana and is asur on Shabbos. Along the same lines, the halacha is that, let's say, and this question unfortunately comes up all too often, let's say somebody, we know when you bake challah, you're supposed to take off challah, and let's say somebody baked challis or cake that a mechuyev and taking off challah for Shabbos, and then he realized that he didn't take off challah, what should he do? You can't take off challah on Shabbos, because taking off challah on Shabbos is an isser of tikkun mana. Bizman hazeh, where the chiyuv of taking off challah, certainly in chutz laretz, but even in Eretz Yisrael, is only an isser derabbanan, there is one eitzah given, there is one piece of advice given. Again, this is something that should be avoided if at all possible, but is mutter b'shas atchak, and that is that instead of separating, in other words, you have a piece, you have a challah on your table as you begin your Shabbos meal, and then you recognize that challah wasn't removed, so don't take off the challah, because that looks like tikkun mana. What you should do is eat from your challah, and then when you have left over at the end a piece of challah, keep that on the side, that should be what is designated as the challah, and that's what you'll burn after Shabbos, of course. But we have to recognize a few things. Number one, that challah is muksa. Number two, you have to remember to leave over the challah. You have to remember to do so. And in general, the halacha is that challah should be removed before eating, not after eating, from the bread or the cake that had the chiyuv challah. But again, if there's no other bread challah available, this is what may be done. Along the same line, about tikkun mana, we spoke about tefillas kelim, we spoke about removing challah. There's a question: what would happen if a mezuzah fell out of its case on Shabbos and may be put back in? And again, we're referring to a situation where there's no binyan involved in putting that mezuzah back in. Would that be mutter or asur? So it really depends, and the Steich Hemed has a discussion on this issue. It really depends, may you live in a house without a mezuzah? The Steich Hemed says that according to those opinion that say that you may not live in a home without a mezuzah, so by putting the mezuzah back into its case on Shabbos, you're making the house livable in, and therefore it would be asur. Others say, but if on the other hand, which is the way we paskin, you're allowed to live in a house without a mezuzah, it wouldn't be considered tikkun mana. Others say that a mezuzah is less of a shaila than a keli, because when you're toivling a keli, you're making the keli usable. You're toivling the actual keli. When you put the mezuzah back into its container on Shabbos, you're not making the mezuzah. You're making it livable for the person. Tikkun mana is only when you're making the actual mana into something. Here we're not making the actual keli into something. We're making the mezuzah make it livable, and therefore it could be that even if we hold that it's usur to live in a house without a mezuzah, putting the mezuzah into the case on Shabbos would still be mutter. But as I said, we paskin that b'dieved you're allowed to live in a house without a mezuzah, and therefore certainly a mezuzah may be returned to its case if it falls out on Shabbos, if no binyan is involved.